It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eaten Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. NFC style, week 8 in the National Football League. Ross Tucker, the former baller. Evan Silva, who really is at the top of his game right now. So Evan Silva's a current baller, if you will, over at rotoworld.com, the number one resource for fantasy football information, other than this podcast, of course, which you can always access any feed, any device at rostucker.com. We also frequently tweet out the links to this podcast, direct links, at Ross Tucker NFL, at Evan Silva, the official podcast handle, at RTF Podcast. Let's get into it. It is the perfect mix for your fantasy lineup this week, and it's presented by MusicMixDaily.com, your go-to destination for music reviews and information. Who do you have this week, Mr. Silva, in terms of quarterback and defenses?
So we're going to roll with the Miami Dolphins defense, which, by the way, has been really good in fantasy. And I noticed in a bunch of my leagues that they were not owned. So they're, you know, there's a decent chance, and I picked them up wherever I could. So there's a decent chance that they are not, that they are available in your league. Go grab them. We talked about this matchup on the AFC podcast. The Miami Dolphins are a great play this week, and you can listen to why on the AFC podcast. So here's another one. You ready for this one, Ross?
Yeah.
You know how the Cowboys fans all think that their defense is the 1985 Chicago Bears?
Yes.
Well, we are going to we're going to agree with them this week. And we're going to start the Dallas defense against Colt McCoy on Monday night. And then if the Dallas defense does not pay off, we're going to blame all the Cowboys fans.
Well, as of right now, there's at least some talk that maybe RG3 plays. I tend to doubt it, but would that change your mind on that at all?
Nope, we're going to play the 85 Bears. I mean, whenever you have the opportunity to play the 85 Bears against a quarterback coming back from injury who didn't look good even when he was healthy, or Colt McCoy, we're going with the 85 Bears.
What about
and then,
quarterbacks?
Yeah. Well, I was going to mention one more D. And Tampa Bay burned us bad a couple of weeks ago. I mean, really, really badly. But they're at home. They're coming off a bye. They're facing Teddy Bridgewater, who I think has 5 interceptions over his last 2 games and has taken 13 sacks. And Matt Khalil can't block anybody. So, this is a situation where, again, just like it was 2 weeks, it's a total Hail Mary. If you can't find a better defense, Tampa Bay fits some of the criteria that we look for in a streamer D. They're playing at home, and they're playing against an offense that isn't very good. So that's a last-ditch resort. Please understand that. But at the same time, when you're playing with streamer Ds, sometimes you got to go with a last-ditch resort.
What about quarterbacks?
Well, Carson Palmer has been very kind to us, and we're going to continue to ride him. He's at home facing Philadelphia, who that's a very blitz-happy team, very reliant on blitz. And when you blitz, you give up a guy, so or two guys. So that will leave the back end of their defense vulnerable at times, and their players in the back end aren't very good. So I like Carson Palmer as a streamer. And then Tony Romo against the Redskins, I think, is pretty interesting on Monday night. He may be owned. I don't know. Carson Palmer actually definitely should be owned. So maybe these are kind of chalk plays. But Tony Romo against the Redskins at home, indoors. The Redskins just lost Brian Arakpo for the season. They don't have anybody good in their secondary. They also play pretty good run defense. So Yeah, and I think that DeMarco Murray should have a great game, no doubt. But there's also a chance that he's not extremely productive, and they have to rely a little bit more on the pass. Tony Romo is a really nice streamer option.
Well, there it is. That's your perfect mix of defenses and quarterbacks to stream this week for your fantasy lineup, presented by MusicMixDaily.com, the go-to destination for any type of music reviews, information. You can follow them on Twitter at MusicMixDaily. That is a podcast listener's site. So go check it out if you're into music. Let's go, Bright.
Next meal.
All right, guys, we're going to start off with the early, early game on Sunday. It's the Detroit Lions at the Atlanta Falcons at Wembley Stadium in London.
Weird game. I mean, these used to be two teams, Evan, that you could count on to put up big numbers, big fantasy stats. Now, I don't really know what to say about either one of these teams anymore from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah, and I totally agree. If you would have looked at this game on the schedule before the season and seen Atlanta-Detroit, you'd have been like, oh, shootout, you know, 34-27 or something like that. But that's not how it is at all. The Falcons' offense is so limited because of the offensive line problems. I mean, it's essentially become a screen pass offense. Dirk Koetter is just unable to call plays. I mean, they'll try to dial up a few designed shot plays every now and again, but they don't really have a running game, and the offense is run through screens. It's kind of like the Jaguars' offense, actually. And to compare the Falcons' offense to the Jaguars' offense, you know, you might have thought I was crazy before the season, but that's really how it is. There's just not a whole lot that they can do. Jake Matthews has been a major disappointment, and they don't really have any other good linemen. Jake Matthews theoretically should be a good lineman, but he's not. So, and now they're going against, you know, maybe the best defense in football. So I don't know what they're going to be able to do offensively. You just hope that Julio Jones gets a bunch of targets and Roddy White gets a bunch of targets. Roddy White finally played pretty well last week, and so that's something for owners to hang their hat on.
Yeah, and going against that D-line, I think, is essentially death. As for the Lions, it just feels like their offense is such a struggle without Calvin in there. Thank goodness they have Golden Tate.
Yeah, and Golden Tate has been a machine. Now, I know Calvin Johnson returned to a limited practice today. So I don't know if he's going to play or what, but we will know that super early on Sunday morning because this game is played at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. So at least we'll know really, really early. And then with Calvin Johnson back, and they may very well hold him out because their next week is a bye. So they could, and I really think that they could beat the Falcons without Calvin Johnson because the Falcons just aren't good. They're not good on offense or defense at this point. So I don't know why they'd rush back Calvin Johnson, but we will know that very early Sunday morning. And then Joey Bell, the Falcons give up the most fantasy points to running backs in the NFL. Joey Bell has 20 touches, I think, in back-to-back weeks. Has scored a touchdown in both. Reggie Bush still limited by the ankle injury. Joey Bell is a great start against Atlanta.
Next meal.
Seattle Seahawks at the Carolina Panthers.
Well, Russell Wilson got it going last week. The offense for Carolina really did not. No Percy Harvin means what for you when it comes to the Seahawks skill guys from a fantasy perspective?
It just means that Doug Baldwin is now a slot receiver as opposed to being – they tried to use him outside in Golden Tate's old role, and he was really struggling with that. And now we see him get to work inside, and he's awesome. I mean, he's been an awesome slot receiver for a few years now, and I just think that role fits him much better. I don't think he's going to produce like last week every week, but he's certainly now a fantasy option. Whereas in the first five games they had an early season bye, he was not a fantasy option.
And then what else on Seattle jumps out at you?
I think that Jermaine Kearse is pretty interesting because he's now the number one option on the perimeter of their offense. And he's a guy who has shown the ability to score touchdowns in the NFL. He did last year on very limited playing time. I mean, he's a guy who can win contested catches. I think he's only 6'1", but he plays like he's about 6'3". And, you know, the Seahawks don't really have other guys like that. Both their tight ends are still hurt. And their other outside receiver right now is the second-round rookie Paul Richardson, who, you know, I mean, he can run, but he's not, you know, I mean, I would probably consider him a project until we see otherwise. So Jermaine Pearse, if you're just kind of looking for a touchdown this week against a bad defense in Carolina has a really bad defense and they have terrible cornerbacks. I mean, maybe the worst cornerback play in the entire NFL. Jermaine Pearse is interesting this week.
What about Carolina? What was last week offensively just a minor bump in the road coming off the overtime game like we talked about on the AFC podcast? Or is there reason for concern about this offense? And what, I mean, obviously we know what Cam is. Where are you with the running backs and with Greg Olsen and Kelvin Benjamin after last week?
Right, and so I would just view it as a one-game blip. You know, on the AFC podcast, you kind of offered the suggestion that maybe it was the result of essentially playing another quarter in the week before, and that makes sense to me. And, you know, I think that the Panthers' offense is going to be okay. I think that it's been good in a much smaller sample size or a much bigger sample size than it has been bad. And, you know, I mean, now they're playing Seattle, which will take away the run, but has been pretty vulnerable in the past. You know, they don't have any outside pass rush right now. They don't have any pass rush really, period. So, you know, I don't know if I would love the idea of starting Cam Newton this week, you know, because of the stigma that Seattle presents. But, you know, if you have to, I don't think it's a bad option. And then Kelvin Benjamin, you know, this is going to be a tough one because he might be matched up a lot with Richard Sherman. He usually runs routes on the other side of where Sherman plays, but the Seahawks are going to be willing to move Sherman around. I mean, they've shown that willingness without Byron Maxwell. So, you know, I don't know. It's a tough one for Kelvin Benjamin. And then Greg Olsen, the Seahawks have been very vulnerable against tight ends. Cam Chancellor is not having a great year. So I would feel fine starting Greg Olsen. Kelvin Benjamin is a tough one.
Next meal.
Let's talk about the St. Louis Rams are in Kansas City.
Rams got a win. It was mainly special teams, although Trey Mason is getting some run now. How about Zach Stacy not getting a touch? I mean, you got to love sports. You got to love fantasy football, huh?
I mean, do you love fantasy football, Ross?
I kind of do. I think it's frustrating at times. I'm glad I don't own Zach Stacy and wasn't counting on him Sunday, that's for sure.
I know. It's really difficult. You know, it's a three-headed monster that became two heads last week. Will Stacy be involved this? I mean, you obviously can't start him, but he might come back and take away touches from Trey Mason or Benny Cunningham. You know, I mean, pick up Trey Mason, see what happens. He's a total dice roll, I think, still. Schottenheimer has said that the Rams will continue to use a hot hand approach in the backfield. Trey Mason has no idea how to pass protect. So if the Rams fall behind, you know, it'll probably be Benny Cunningham or Zach Stacy in the game. And then if you look at the schedule for the Rams going forward, I mean, there can't possibly be a run defense schedule that is tougher than what the Rams are going to face after the Kansas City game. So grab Trey Mason, see what happens, but it's pretty dicey.
Next meal.
Chicago Bears. They're at New England.
Bears are a weird team. We talked about on the AFC podcast a little bit. You know, I mean, at this point, with Cutler's inconsistency, with the whole team's inconsistency, does that mean that there are guys that you shouldn't play in terms of Alshon Jeffrey or Brandon Marshall? Or are you still – I mean, obviously you're playing Forte with all the catches he gets, but – or are you still just playing those guys and expecting them to have a big game against New England? Because who's Revis going to cover too?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. You know, they could stick him on Marshall, or they could just leave him at left cornerback, which is something that they've done. And then Marshall plays the slot in three receivers, so he could end up going against Kyle Arrington a lot. And then Alshon Jeffrey, they also sometimes use him in the slot, but he will probably end up going against Revis and Browner the most, I would think. That doesn't mean that you bench him, though. I mean, you know, what if the Patriots stick Revis on Marshall the whole game? Then Alshon Jeffrey will end up going against Brandon Browner and maybe Logan Ryan. So it's too hard to try to pin down exactly what's going to happen. And I really think that your best option, especially with Chandler Jones out, the pocket is going to be cleaner for Jay Cutler. So I think you just start all those guys. And Matt Forte is a locked-in starter. The Patriots aren't good in run defense. And we saw that, last Thursday night when Chris Ivory had a huge game against him and Chris Johnson had, you know, one of his best games over the last few years.
Next meal.
The Minnesota Vikings are at the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Thank goodness they didn't actually give Asiata more touches like the Vikings were saying they were going to do. Any hesitation on McKinnon this week? And are there any Vikings wide receivers that are worth starting in anybody's lineup in your mind?
No on the wide receivers, and it should be on with Jerick McKinnon now. I mean, we've seen him run against some pretty good, run well against some pretty good run defenses now. That Bills run D is awesome, and he had success running against them. And, they get him the ball in the passing game. I mean, and now he's going against the Buccaneers, who have not played run defense, particularly in their last two games. They've been really soft against the run. So Jerick McKinnon should, he's a guy, if you're in a daily league, he's probably still priced pretty cheaply, and he would be a guy that I'd want in my lineup because this could be a big-time game for him.
What about on the Bucs side of the equation in this game?
Well, I don't know who's going to play running back for the Buccaneers. I think there could be some surprises. Doug Martin was just plainly ineffective when given his opportunities before the bye. I think Bobby Rainey is probably a better option. And really, I think that Mike James, a guy who they haven't given any opportunities to so far this year, I think he might be a better option than both of those guys. I don't know what the coaching staff is going to do, but I don't know what to say about the Bucs running back situation. It's a good matchup, but it's just been so ineffective. And I don't know that it's predictable coming off the bye. If we hear on Sunday morning that Bobby Rainey is starting, though, he becomes a pretty nice flex play. Doug Martin has just been plain awful.
Anything on the receivers in Tampa?
Well, Mike Evans is back. There have been some rumors that the Bucs might try to trade Vincent Jackson. And if Vincent Jackson goes, Mike Evans becomes the number one, and Robert Heron moves up a little bit, and Lewis Murphy probably becomes the number two the rest of the way, and they might start to use Austin Seferian Jenkins more. So that's just something to kind of keep in mind. Vincent Jackson, as long as he's starting games for Tampa Bay, I think is an every-week fantasy starter. You got to take the good with the bad. Mike Evans has a really good matchup against Josh Robinson, who's been very up and down for the Vikings on the outside. And, if you're looking for a touchdown, I think that Mike Evans is a pretty good bet for a touchdown. Austin Seferian Jenkins plays a lot of snaps, but I still want to see more from him. Lewis Murphy has been really productive, but that's hard to – that's going to be hard for him to sustain as, a third receiver in a passing game that isn't great.
Well, speaking of up and down, if your fantasy team's been mainly down, you should really try DraftKings.com. It's America's favorite one-week fantasy football site because it doesn't matter what's going on with your season-long team. If you're in a slump, if you're not going to make the playoffs in your league, why don't you give DraftKings.com a shot? It literally takes a couple minutes to pick your team. You can start from scratch now that you actually know what these guys are this year, and you can win cash. Not just the big guys winning 100 grand or winning $1 million in a day. You can win money even if you don't win the ultimate prize in the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. 100,000 bucks, but first place is 10 grand. So a lot of other people are winning money. Head over to DraftKings.com now. Enter our promo code FEAST, and you can play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter FEAST for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
Next meal.
The Philadelphia Eagles will be in Arizona taking on the Cardinals.
Eagles coming off a bye. They finally got that ground game going. The Cardinals are just, I thought they'd take a step back this year. Then they suffered a bunch of injuries, and I thought maybe they would take a really big step back. And instead, they just keep winning. Bruce Arians, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say he's the greatest coach in the history of the NFL. I mean, I'm exaggerating, of course. I'm joking. But this is three straight years now. What he did in Indy a couple years ago, Arizona last year, it's amazing. Why don't we start, though, with the Philly side of things? Sproles' status still up in the air. Does that mean anything for you in terms of Foles or Macklin or Ertz? I'm assuming now we all need to be putting LeSean McCoy as our RB1 again after what he did against the Giants last Sunday night.
Yeah, and it's worth keeping in mind that the Giants played nickel almost that entire game.
Good point.
So they were almost begging the Eagles to run on them. And then the Eagles did. That's just a note, but I think it's an interesting note. And then, but there are positive signs for LeSean McCoy all over the place. Darren Sproles, I think, is supposed to play, but he's also coming off a sprained MCL. So how effective will he be? How much will he play? How many touches will he get? You know, I don't know. That can't hurt LeSean McCoy. The fact that LeSean McCoy has started to run well has got to be good for his confidence. The Eagles' O-line is starting to get healthy. I mean, Lane Johnson, is back, and that's really good. And then it sounds like Kelsey is going to be back soon. And then Evan Mathis, I think, is due back in week 10. So definitely the arrow appears to be pointing up on LeSean McCoy. The Cardinals have been great in run defense, and I agree with everything that you said about how, I keep thinking that they're going to take a step back too. They lose Calais Campbell, but they're still good against the run. And so, it's a tough matchup, but when LeSean McCoy is running well in a good offense that is still productive, you got to roll them out. And then the Cardinals have been very vulnerable in pass defense because they don't have an outside pass rusher. They lost John Abraham, and they don't have any guys like that. So this is a game that Nick Foles should be. I mean, I think this is a shootout game, and Jeremy Maclin should get his. And then you're still kind of guessing with Zach Ertz and Jordan Matthews and Riley Cooper. One of those guys will probably have a nice game. The Cardinals are always vulnerable against tight ends, so that would bode well for Zach Ertz.
What about Arizona offensively? The Eagles' defense has been better than I think a lot of us thought they'd be.
Yeah, I agree. I don't look at the Eagles now and think, oh my God, you can't start your guys against them. I would have to see more of that. And this is a blitz team that will leave itself vulnerable in the back end. And they don't have any good defensive backs at all. So it's not, I would want to start Carson Palmer. Michael Floyd has been in Carson Palmer's three starts, he has either scored a touchdown or he's got over 100 yards in all three. So he's an every week fantasy starter. Larry Fitzgerald, I think, could be the odd man out this week. He plays in the slot frequently, and the Eagles' best cornerback is a slot corner. I shouldn't have said earlier that Philadelphia doesn't have any good defensive backs, they do, and it's Brandon Boykin, the slot corner, who Larry
I think Malcolm Jenkins is making plays too.
Okay, all right. I mean, I shouldn't have said that. I just look at the outside corners, Bradley Fletcher and Kerry Williams, and, you know, I mean, you can beat these guys. Michael Floyd should be able to beat these guys. I think John Brown is a kind of interesting sleeper play this week because he should be able to run by those defensive backs for the Eagles. I mean, he should be able to get open in this game.
Next meal.
Sunday night, the Green Bay Packers at the New Orleans Saints.
Sunday night is football night. You know, at first I was going to say, you know what, the Saints defense looked a little bit better against the Lions, but really I think that was more the Lions offense without Calvin Johnson. I'm still not believing in the Saints defense. That Golden Tate play was vomitorious by about five defensive backs for the Saints and really concerning. I know it's in the dome. I know the Saints always win in the dome, but I'm not slowing down on any of these Packers offensive players right now.
No, man, no. Tee them up. You know, Jordy is good to go. Cobb is good to go. Eddie Lacy should be a good bet for a touchdown, and that's where his value is derived at this point. You know, expecting him to be a workhorse, he's not. He's not being utilized in the same way that he was last year. So whether he pays off as a fantasy start will be tied to whether he scores touchdowns. And I think that he'll be a good bet for a touchdown most weeks, and particularly against a pretty bad Saints defense. Davante Adams, I think, is still really interesting. I think we talked about him last week. Packers just didn't have to throw a lot in this last game. So Davante Adams only had one target, I believe. He did catch it for a 21-yard touchdown. But this is a game where the Saints are actually favored by a point. So this is not a game where Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to sit after 25 pass attempts, as he's done a couple of times here over the past month. This is a game where Davante Adams should get a lot of work, and he should be running routes against Corey White and Patrick Robinson and the undrafted rookie cornerback Brian Dixon. And, you know, I mean, I know that the targets were not there because of how the game turned out, but he played 79% of the Packers' offensive snaps last week, and that was a season high for Davante Adams. So I still think the arrow was pointing up on this kid, and I think this could be his big game. Of course, I thought that last week would be his big game. I mean, just you can feel it coming because of, you know, the fact that the Packers do not have a tight end that is useful in their offense, and he's getting so much playing time.
What about the Saints offensively, Evan, against the Packers D that is playing better now?
Yeah, so the Packers have defended the pass really well. They've been vulnerable to the run. So it'll be interesting to see how the Saints attack this game. Jimmy Graham played enough last week and should be healthier, that he should be good to go. And then the other guys are all kind of crapshoots. You know, because of the way that the Saints distribute usage in their offense, you know, last week was a Marcus Colston week. And, you know, could this be a Mark Ingram week? I mean, I definitely think that it could be. But, you know, maybe it'll be a Kyrie Robinson week. Or maybe it'll be a Brandon Cooks week. You know, it's just it's really difficult to pin down week to week which Saints guy is going to go off, because there are just so many options in their offense. And really, they haven't been putting up a lot of yards and points. So when they're not putting up a lot of yards and points, and you have that same sort of, you know, spread the wealth mentality, then guys are going to be left to hang out to dry. You know, there are going to be more guys that suffer in the box score.
Next meal.
And finally, Monday Night Football, Gavin Escobar and the Dallas Cowboys host the Washington Redskins.
Nice, Bry. I like when you're awesome. Funny. You've got, and you know what? That means you pay attention. I guess you were at that game on Sunday, so I'm not going to give you too much credit, but I like it. Gavin Escobar and the Dallas Cowboys. Well, you said earlier you're streaming Tony Romo. I mean, basically, and you're also streaming the Cowboys defense. So I think we have a pretty good idea what you think about this game. Is there anything to note about the Cowboys offensively right now? Maybe, yes, you can continue to play Terrence Williams because he's going to catch one pass for a touchdown every week?
You know, Dez should go off. The Cowboys are – the fact that the Cowboys are using more of Gavin Escobar does not bode well for Jason Witten's chances of, you know, coming back and being a factor. I mean, he has not been a factor in their passing game this year other than, you know, as a sort of safety valve when desperate. He's crucial to what they do as a run-blocking unit, but he's essentially waiver wire material in fantasy leagues. And then, look, Terrence Williams has not, you know, the targets have not been there, but this is a great matchup for him. So if you've got him, you may as well start him because the Redskins are depleted with their pass rush after losing Brian Arakpo. And, I mean, they should be able to do pretty much whatever they want to do offensively against the Redskins.
As for the Redskins, they're still up in the air as to supposedly whether it's RG3 or Colt McCoy. I still think it's going to be Colt McCoy. What does that mean? I mean, run for the hills for everybody? Does that mean there's more of a chance that Alfred Morris can get going or less because they're going to stack the box and make Colt McCoy beat him?
Well, I mean, what does it usually mean when backup quarterbacks play? You know, what has the impact been on Kendall Wright and Justin Hunter and, you know, even Delani Walker with Charlie Whitehurst under center? Or, you know, what is the impact of when Drew Stanton is out there at quarterback? You know, what happens to Michael Floyd? You know, I mean, they just become extremely unpredictable and unreliable despite their talent. That, you know, sometimes the quarterback can get the ball to them, and sometimes the quarterback can't. And Colt McCoy, I would say, is even inferior to Drew Stanton, and probably right in the range of Charlie Whitehurst, maybe even inferior to him. Charlie Whitehurst has actually had some good moments this year. So, you know, again, Dallas it should be on the table as a streamer defense. You're totally on your own playing DeSean Jackson or Pierre Garçon. One thing I did notice from their last game is that Colt McCoy went because they had a game-winning drive and they kicked the game-winning field goal. And on that last drive, Colt McCoy went to Jordan Reed a bunch. So, and then also the Cowboys give up, I think, either the first or the second most fantasy points to tight ends. So if there is one Redskins pass catcher that I would feel good about, it would be Jordan Reed. And as for Alfred Morris, I know that that's what the question initially was about. The concern is less about Colt McCoy. It's about game flow. Because Alfred Morris already has to deal with the fact that when the Redskins fall behind, they put in Roy Helu. So what if they get – I mean, they could easily get dominated in time of possession in this game. I mean, just destroyed in time of possession, play from behind all game. You know, it's going to be a really tough week to start Alfred Morris. I mean, the Redskins might only have the ball for 20 minutes, I think.
That's a good nugget, by the way, at the end on Jordan Reed. Really good nugget. That'll also do it for a Thursday edition of the Fantasy Feast podcast, really the NFC edition. That'll do it for the Fantasy Feast for this week. Really appreciate those of you that support the pod in whichever way you do, whether it's spreading the word on social media or hitting up Music Mix Daily or Stamps.com or DraftKings.com. You guys are awesome. We appreciate the fact that you appreciate us. We're stuffed. Good luck, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for downloading the Fantasy Feast Eaton podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the Russ Tucker Football Podcast and the Even Money Podcast as well, all of which are available at RussTucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
TrueCar.com is changing car buying forever. Yes, everyday TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Some features not available in all states. In the first 6 months of this year, Over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off the MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com and find out what people paid for the car you're looking for. Then register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Remember, everyday TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.